Hi everyone, and welcome to A Good Good Thing. I hope you're having a great week full of good things, and if you're not, well, you're in luck, because from here on in, this is a good vibes only space. Everything's so nice, like super great, so great, yeah. Jack, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
What do you know about food waste?
Well, there was the episode we did, which talked about food waste a few months ago.
We did. Our first episode was around the charity Food Cycle, which helps reduce food waste.
And I would say I learned so much from that.
Good.
I can remember none of it at this moment in time, which says more about my ability to retain information than it does about food waste.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions about food waste, and you're going to tell me which you think is the right answer. Okay?
Oh, okay.
All right.
I can embarrass myself.
Yeah, that's the idea. How much of overall food produced globally goes to waste? Is it half, a quarter, a third, or three quarters?
I'm going to go with three quarters.
You're going to go with three quarters. That is incorrect. It is less, but still a lot. It is actually a third of all food produced globally goes to waste.
That's really bad because I just listened to the pre-recorded intro we did and it had that information and I obviously just didn't pass it.
I don't think it was in there actually. Question two. How much do you think that third of wasted food is worth?
I don't even know what normal food... Normally what I do here is I'd go, okay, sandwich is worth like £2 and a third of all food in the world is equivalent to 10 billion sandwiches, and therefore I'm going to say £20 billion, or as we say because of the current currency, €5.
That's very true. The answer is $1 trillion.
Okay, so I was close.
So you were close. And that weighs around 1.3 billion tons. Okay, next question.
Does an elephant weigh 1 ton? Is that right?
I think it's probably more than that, but yeah, maybe. 1 ton elephant sounds like a phrase.
So we're talking 1.3 billion elephants of food.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
How do you even consume 1.3 billion tons of food? Like okay, step back. 7 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
1.3 billion tons of food per year?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means like, everyone eats a 365th of... I'm going to quit the maths.
Yeah, I think the reader's just switched off. Reader? The listener's just switched off. Okay, let's carry on with our question. An area larger than what country is used to grow food that is never actually eaten? Is it China, Brazil, the UK, or India?
That's unfair because I think three of those countries are roughly the same size anyway. So it's definitely going to be bigger than the UK. So I'm going to go with Brazil.
I'm afraid you're wrong. It is, in fact, China.
Is China bigger than Brazil? Should I be more or less worried?
I have no idea. I just picked three other countries, Jack.
Three other similarly sized countries.
I know. I felt pressured. I should have changed it. Anyway, next question. I hope everyone that's listening is doing better than you. What percentage of the world's fresh water supply is used to grow food that is never eaten? Is it 10%, 25%, 45%, or 60%?
So, there is lots of water on the planet. It is what makes the planet special. Apparently Mars used to have water, but there were some problems. And Europa, a moon in our solar system, has lots of water under the frozen crust. I'm using this time so I can...
So you can think.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Thanks, I've been watching a lot of political broadcasts and I'm getting some tips. I think it was option B.
25%?
Yes.
Ding, 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 you are correct.
See, that's what happens when you pause for thought.
Okay, last one. If food waste were a country, where would it rank in the list of the largest emitters of greenhouse gases?
Ooh, that's it. Interesting. Can you give me some numbers? No. I just, out of 200, I've got 195 countries? 206 countries. How many countries in the world?
Fine, okay, I'll give you out of the top... 10.
So it's inside the top 10?
Yeah.
That's difficult because, like, countries have food waste in their, like, emission statistics. Not food waste, have food production. So if it was just food waste, I would say it would be the... Okay, China, biggest polluter, followed by America. Then we're probably talking ones with lots of people, maybe India, very developed countries with large populations. Maybe Japan could be up there, Brazil, maybe Mexico. So I'm going to go with about seventh.
You are wrong. You were right with the top two highest emitters of greenhouse gases, and you were wrong about your suggested third, because the third would be food waste.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So yeah, you can see that food waste is a global issue. And what's really interesting is that in most developed countries, over half of all food waste actually takes place in the home. Whereas it's only in, like, food waste in retail store level, it's only around 2% of the total waste. Though supermarkets and retail are responsible for much larger amounts of food waste further down the supply. So that is to say that, for example, part of the 3.6 million tons that doesn't even make it out of the farm in the UK is because the produce doesn't meet the supermarket standards. And that doesn't mean that it's not edible. It means that the carrot is slightly bent or the cucumber is slightly bent. So they don't accept it and it wouldn't go through. So it goes to waste.
So Neil, with all this food waste that's going on, what possible good news can there be?
Well, Jack, I'm glad you asked, because I have a good thing for you this week, and it is the app called Olio.
Olio.
Olio. So
oil in Italian.
Is it?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Maybe that's where it comes from.
I hope. I mean, maybe. Otherwise, they've just done something.
But, like, any type of oil? Are we talking, like, olive oil? Are we talking, like, kerosene type oil?
I guess it's food oil. I've only seen it in, like, meals, so it's, like, pasta el olio. Pasta with oil.
Olio is a food sharing app that actually I was introduced by my boss, because my boss and her husband use food delivery services. You know, we're like, I was going to say Groucho, get fresh, go fresh, fresh go. What are they called?
What type of food do they deliver?
Like, you know, where you deliver all of the ingredients so you don't waste any extra stuff.
Oh, those little box things.
Yeah.
Where they, yeah.
So she has those delivered, which hilariously is the point that is that you don't waste anything because it gives you exactly what you need. And yet she still manages to not get through them. And she didn't want to waste them, and she found the app Olio.
That's a premium secondhand food.
It is a very premium secondhand food. Well, a lot of it is, I think they manage to just throw all the ingredients in, but they don't do all of the spices and all of that kind of stuff, the extra bits that come with
the
it.
The flavour.
Yeah.
Wow, they are so British.
I know, right? So British. So yeah, Olio is this amazing app that connects neighbours with each other, as well as local businesses, so that surplus food can be shared and not thrown away. So obviously this could be food that's nearing its sell by day in local stores or spare homegrown vegetables.
How do I get this food?
So to get the food, you need to download the Olio app. You can sign up with your email or with Facebook. You set your location. You set the type of things you might give away or what you prefer.
What if I don't want to give anything away? What if I'm like, I never have food and I just want to take other people's food, which is part of the circle.
Which is part of the, that's fine.
Not be just being really selfish.
You can put in it that you're more likely to be there for seeking food. And then basically what happens is you then set your location and it shows you how many other Olio users are in your local area. And you can then go see what they're offering, message them, ask them when they're free for you to go and pick it up if they can. And then that's simply how you organize it.
Okay, so I open it up, I sign up, I say I'm a big hungry pig and I want to eat everyone else's food. And then I go on and I look for people who are advertising their specific meals or specific foods that they have in their cupboard. And I go, I want that food. And then I message them and go, give me your food.
So there are different ways that you can use it. Mainly you log on, and then you'll look in the local area and see what people have. And you can obviously then choose to look further afield if you want. And you can select to look at food or non-food items that people are giving away. But what you can do is you can create a listing of something that you want. So you could put up that I am looking for vegetables, or I'm looking for meat, or I'm looking for spices. And then someone else who has that can respond to your listing request.
So what you're saying is if I wanted free champagne, I should just put up listings for champagne, caviar, and then just... because no one else would have been like ballsy enough to do that yet, I'll be top of the list for when someone is giving away champagne, and then it's going to come this way.
That is exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. But do let me know if someone comes to you and says, I've got some champagne that you can take home.
You know what? I'm going to set up right now just to see if I can get any champagne by the end of this recording.
Great. Do it.
So, okay. So I can put up a listing for what I want. If there are other, does it say how far away they are? Like, is it organized by closest to furthest away?
Exactly.
So I will open up the app. In fact, let's open up the app right now.
Yeah.
Let's see what we can get in the distance from Bethnal Green.
So we're not going to be able to do it from Bethnal Green because I've set mine to my home location, which is not Bethnal Green. So, but where from my house right now, we have Harry, who is giving away chocolate sprinkles.
Oh, how many chocolate sprinkles? Is it a full pack?
It's a full pack because he has them, never used them, and now no longer has dairy.
Oh.
You get a little nice little bio with all of the pieces.
Is there dairy in chocolate sprinkles? Like, do they actually put dairy products in?
Apparently he says so.
Yeah, I mean, I shouldn't judge. It's his sprinkles. He should.
But then there's also other great... we also then have...
Oh, wait. How far is he from your house? That's what I want to know.
So he's 1.3 kilometers.
So you're going to walk... Would you walk 1.3 kilometers for free dairy sprinkles? Dairy sprinkles? Chocolate sprinkles?
I mean, it's not actually that far. And actually, you know, you get some good steps in. So
it'll burn off the calorie. That's like four sprinkles.
Yeah. But I've also got Wendy, who's got a whole load of radishes. She's giving away.
How far is Radish Wendy?
She's 2.6 kilometers.
Would you walk 2? I'd walk 2.6 kilometers.
Well, it's technically, she's near a tube station, so it's almost on my way home.
So this picture, do you reckon she took that picture of the radishes herself?
Yes, I think she did. I think she probably grew them. No, she got them from Kingston Market.
Huh.
And she can have them picked up on evenings and weekends, which is great. But it's also not just people giving, like individuals giving away their stuff. There's also local volunteers who offer to give away free meals to those in need. And Olio also has drop boxes in select stores and locations where people can go and drop off their things if they haven't got time to wait for someone to come and pick them up. And an Olio user can see when that drop box has got stuff in it and simply go and collect it.
Someone is giving away 1 pint of a 2 pint container of cider. Like, I like the story behind that. Like, I think I've reached my fill. Someone should take this cider off my hands.
I mean, yeah, there's not, I think people are still kind of getting used to the app and realizing what it should and shouldn't be used for.
Ooh, sandwich ham. I'm a vegetarian, so that doesn't help. Oh, she put a little picture of a pig's face next to it.
But, you know, if you're a family and you're feeding kids for school, extra pack of ham for school lunches.
Someone should, yeah, get to Jacqueline because she has 6 packs of luncheon meat available. I don't know how you get into a circumstance where you need 6. Ocado? She got that delivered.
Fancy sandwich meat.
Well, maybe it's from like a charity or something. Okay, so what you're saying is I could go on this app and I can go through the list and I can go, wow, someone has literally just added donuts. And I could be like, hey, Kayla, can I come get these donuts? It's from Cavan Bakery. I'll have to bring my own bag because that's what you've told me. I can pick up till 11 p.m. and then just take some free donuts, which would otherwise go in the bin.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it's a case of you can look at it. I think for my boss, when she started doing hers, it was literally a woman that lived on her street. So, you know, there are over 1.2 million Olio users. So obviously it will depend on where you live and how many people there use it. But if it's somewhere that's on your way home or it's near your office, you might be able to save on lunch. You save on like one ingredient on the way home. And it's kind of, you know, you may not do it all the time, but I think there are loads of great scenarios where it makes sense to just try and do it to save throwing them away.
For the record, you can do it and get time because Felicity is giving some away 9.4 kilometers from your house.
Fresh time. That's a long way to go for some fresh time.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if it grew in the park, it would be easier. So it seems, yeah, mainly ingredients. Wow, this person's giving away like expensive tea. This is gorgeous geisha tea too. I just
tea
bought
too
some tea
is
tea.
Very nice tea.
It's like £9 a box. This is...
Swing by.
Sorry, I've got overexcited. Which is a good sign, right? That's what you want from an application giving away free food because it makes people get interested. And all of this would end up in the bin. So it seems like when you first described it, I thought it would be more like, oh, I've taken ingredients in my house and I've cooked them and I have leftover lasagna portions. I'm going to give this to my neighbor. But it seems more like people are like, ah, I got some spare ingredients or I got some tea, which I don't really like. I should allow someone else to have this for free. And they're taking time out of their day to list it and meet up with people to take it off them, which I guess, is probably a little bit more welcoming. Like, I would happily take tea off a stranger. I'd be less likely to go, hey, thanks for the cooked meal. I'm gonna have that. What about you? Would you?
I think there are a load of other options. I think, you know, obviously, I think as people first start to use it, that is definitely what they do. It's like it's pantry ingredients that last for ages that they realize they don't want or they're never going to use. But, you know, there are different variations where someone has, you know, they've overcooked or they've overcatered for something and they have spare food. So it could be hot meals. So if you're someone that has to eat out a lot or doesn't have time to come home and cook, it's a great way to get a hot meal and also to meet locals and meet neighbors and add to the community. It's a great way for local businesses to not just throw their food in the bin, to actually help people that are in need of it as well. So I think there are a lot of different scenarios where it, you know, it's a good thing.
So I went onto the App Store because I was worried we were sounding a bit too much like an infomercial, being like, oh, this is really positive, make sure. And I looked up the worst reviews. And Leah Coyle, 1 month ago, was like, it's just a bunch of your neighbors cleaning out their cupboards and giving away old, expired, nasty food. Also, how about giving extra food to actual hungry homeless people? So I think we've learned that Leah Coyle isn't very friendly. And Michael Shimizu was like, it's a great idea, but the things you want aren't actually there. You're pretty much wasting time and gas for the goods that you pick up. So there are a couple of negative complaints, but it seems like it depends where you are. Like, that guy was from Los Angeles. Maybe that means they don't have a good community there. Do you think it's pretty dependent on, like, maybe if you live in a city rather than in a suburb?
I mean, I think I just don't know if I necessarily agree with either of those comments, because where if it's saying you're wasting time and gas collecting it, then why are you collecting it in the first place if you didn't want it? So it's always worth it if you've chosen to go there and get it. And I've never seen anything that is out of date or expired. Like, it's against the app's rules. They do actually, even there are sometimes there's things on there that do actually even, they ask, people ask for a price because it could be something that's really expensive. But the rule is that it should be 50% or more off from the full price purchase. So it could be that someone, you know, has bought a whole turkey and then realizes that they're never going to get around to cooking it for whatever reason. You can sell it on to try and earn some money back for it, and someone gets something cheap, almost like another way of getting you reduced aisle at the supermarket. So yeah, no, I just don't agree with it, to be honest, because I don't think how you're wasting your time getting it if you've chosen to go and get it.
Yeah, well, I mean, those reviews were in the minority. The app has a 4.1 rating on the Google Play Store. So the majority of reviews have been very positive.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is that it's like, it's a great attempt to affect change. And, you know, the only way that things are going to happen and we're going to reduce food waste is by apps like this and initiatives like this that are trying to, you know, fix gaps and close loopholes in processes, supply chains, and this is a really good way to do it. And I think I like the idea that potentially it's a way to meet people in a community. You know, my boss now speaks to a neighbor that she had never seen before, and now they speak to each other quite regularly. And I think, you know, there's definitely those opportunities. I just think it's how you approach it.
I only want to befriend my neighbors when they give me free food. I'm going to hold out.
Exactly, until... exactly. I mean, I can smell some of the stuff coming out of the other flats in the apartment that I live in, and I can't, I want to just like put an Olio leaflet through their door just in case to see if I suddenly can see them come up there and they'll have extra portions of food.
So, Olio, personally, it sounds like you're a convert. I will definitely be trying it out, although I tend to always kind of use apps for like, I don't know, a couple of weeks and then forget they're on my phone. How is it doing for society? Is it making a difference?
So far it has saved over 1.9 million portions of food since launch. Don't ask me when the launch was, because I don't remember.
So 1.9 million portions of food, that's 3 portions a day for someone who needs to eat, which is everyone.
Yeah.
So we're talking roughly 650 to 700,000 days of food, which means one person could live for 2 years off of what the app's done so far. Wait, is that right?
Wait, did you just say 6,000 days or something like that?
Yeah, 6,000 days.
So that's not going to be 2 years, is it?
No, it's more like 5 years. It's 5 years.
And I am supposed to be the dumb one.
Okay, one person needs 365 days or 1,000 portions of food per... A person needs 1,000 portions of food a year. And you said how many portions of food?
Over 1.9 million.
Okay, so I am incredibly embarrassed about my former maths.
This is twice in an episode, Jack. I think it's time to retire attempting to do this kind of stuff in your head.
Oh, man, it's a bad day. It's hot. It's really hot in the studio.
Jack, I'm going to play the theme music. Work it out. Okay, Jack, we're back. Have you figured out the maths?
Yeah, and I did it all in my head without any help from calculators.
Really? So the Google calculator on your laptop in front of you isn't in your head?
I feel like you're tearing apart the magic of radio.
I mean, this is a podcast, it's not radio.
I mean, they're basically the same thing. I wondered, every, like, when podcasts started coming out like 10 years ago, everyone was like, have you heard that podcast? And I was like, what? And they're like, you know, it's like a radio show, but on demand. And so I was like, oh, so it's a radio show on demand. And people are like, no, it's a podcast.
What is a podcast?
I mean, it's a radio show on demand.
I just feel like you say that it's going to give...
I mean, like, you don't go like, oh, it's a TV series on
demand. Just say it's like
demand.
The Netflix for radio, except you don't pay.
Some places you do now.
Yeah.
So I don't really like that.
I've heard.
1,781 people could be fed for a year based on the food savings from Olio so far.
Now that is impressive. So yeah, so that's Olio. That was my good thing of the week. You know, I think the app's got a way to go, but there are people on it that are using it to do good things. Like I found one post near where I live, a guy called Sid, works at a local church, and he gives away free meals on a Friday made from surplus food from the local area businesses. Very similar to Food Cycle. And yeah, so I reckon everyone should give it a go, have a look, and see if you can pick something up, or better, give something away rather than putting it in the bin.
You know what? It'd be super interesting to know how it works for people that don't live inside a large city, such as our listeners in Zimbabwe or Iran or Leighton Buzzard. Exactly. So please do let us know, because it would be nice to know if it's just one of these things that lefty built-up area metropolitan elites can benefit from, and actually as you get further away from built-up areas, that it's less able to help people out. But it'd be interesting to find that out. This is the bit where we do a 30-second roundup of some positive stories that we've discovered in the period between this episode and the last episode.
Cool.
I was going to say in the last week, but it's not a week.
No, it's two, Jack.
And I want to put a prediction out there where... So what happens is I list out the stories, I have 30 seconds, and then Neil picks one of the stories to talk about in more detail, and I know which story Neil's going to pick before he's even heard the list. So, Neil, I need you to, like, cover your ears while I tell everyone else which story you're going to pick.
Oh, okay. I don't know whether this is like, because you know me so well, or you're just a super judgy,
Can you definitely not hear me?
I can't hear a word you're saying.
Perfect. So Neil is definitely going to, I'm sure you can hear me. Neil is definitely going to pick the story about tickle therapy. Okay? Now, if I'm right... Well, there's nothing you can do because you're hearing this after I spoke. So just, if I'm right, know that I'm feeling really smug.
And if
I'm
wrong, how long is this story? Can I unblock my ears, please?
If I'm wrong, just never mention it again. Neil, welcome back. Thank you.
Okay. It's the longest title. It's going to take the whole 30 seconds to do it.
Yeah, there's only one option. And that's why I know what you're going to pick.
Okay, so you need your timer.
Please.
Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm not. Give me a second.
Okay. Well, you could have done that in the time that we were spending.
I was trying to cover my ears. All right, ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Researchers had modified cotton fabric to emit a lemony smell when it gets into contact with sweat. Self-sterilizing polymer, type of plastic, proves effective against drug-resistant superbugs such as MRSA. The most ever detailed 3D map of the Milky Way has been released. A dolphin mum has adopted a whale calf in the first known case of a wild bottlenose dolphin adopting another species. Tickle therapy could help slow the aging process. Google is detecting kidney disease with new technologies. Magnetic springs can break down marine microplastic pollution.
I don't know.
Have a think. I wonder what you'll come up with.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, as someone that really struggles in the heat with sweat, I really want fabrics that release the lemony scent. Actually, do you know what one I do want to choose? But it's not really going to work because this is a podcast. But I want to hear about the Milky Way because I saw that story and I didn't actually... I haven't clicked on it to read it because I was on the underground and it didn't load. And so I still don't know and I want to see what it looks like, which is irrelevant for a podcast. But I want to now hear you explain a 3D image of the Milky Way.
That's the one you're picking.
It's between that one and cotton lemony sweat fabric.
Okay. Well, I want you to know that you've embarrassed me in front of all of the listeners.
Which one? Oh, you thought I was going to choose the dolphin, didn't you?
No. Oh, well, this is getting worse.
Oh. Which one did you think I was going to pick?
Tickle therapy could help slow aging.
No, why would that interest me?
Because, okay, one, you like weird things. Two, you like different types of alternative therapies. Three, you care about, you know, how people feel bad about aging.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but that is, that was slander. That makes me sound like I'm into some weird stuff. I'm sorry, but, I've seen of those documentaries where about people that love tickling. And that is just not an area I want to get involved with. I don't want to go around tickling people. They can go and tickle themselves. You can do what you do in the privacy of your own home is your problem. That's fine. I don't judge. I don't want to hear about it. I want to hear about the new Milky Way picture.
I just want to point out that it's a scientific research study into a really medicinal tickle therapy. It's not just getting tickled by strangers.
Okay, that's fine. So, Milky Way, tell us everything.
So... 3D map of galaxy. This is a good thing because it shows us more about the universe that we live in. Like, they've been able to use technology and science and hard work and research to get a better understanding of what it is that surrounds us in our giant galaxy, the Milky Way.
So is it that, obviously, with the images that people know of the Milky Way, is it because there never has never been an image and they're all just composites based on small facets of information? Or is it that the level of technology that we've had up until now for imaging has only ever been able to show it as flat?
So, I mean, what happens is it's really impossible to get a picture of what a galaxy looks like.
Because you're in it.
I mean, that's it. But there's also, you're looking at different things. Like, lots of pictures you see of space, with loads of different colours and stuff. You don't see those colours with your eyes. They're just coloured versions of different radio waves or different... UV or electromagnetic spectrum that they've put in color to allow us to visualize what's happening in galaxy space. So with this, they very specifically started looking at a type of star which dims and grows brighter to kind of help us understand the shape of the galaxy itself. I think those types of stars are called Cepheids. I've only ever seen it written, so I don't know if that's how you pronounce it.
No idea. Sorry, I can't help.
This should be an article, not a podcast, because then I wouldn't make these mistakes every episode. And so by looking at these, they worked out that the galaxy itself is not flat or linear, but it's actually kind of warped and twisted in different ways. And the best explanation I've heard is if you get a vinyl, which might not be useful for younger people. If you get a piece of plastic and you leave it out in the sun or you get a hairdryer on it, then it kind of all moves up and down in different ways. It kind of bends and twists and reshapes itself. And that's what they found out about the Milky Way, is that in fact, it's not even close to being linear, spiraling around one central point. It kind of bends up and down and around the what is the center of the Milky Way? It's like a supermassive black hole.
I don't know, I'm afraid. But it's very cool though, because I think, because obviously now they're back on a moon race to get back and launch a moon space station. I think finding out something like this kind of shows how much more there is to go and how many exciting stories that the galaxy and space has in store. So it's going to be really interesting as, you know, they build these moon space stations, like where everything's going to go.
Yes, and that is incredibly exciting, although resource intensive.
And costly.
But actually, last week, this isn't a good thing, it's a scary thing. An asteroid flew between the moon and the Earth, just, and I can't remember, they call it something like a disaster asteroid, but it would only destroy a city. So it wouldn't like end life on Earth like the dinosaurs, it would only like hit a city and kill millions of people. But they're also doing cool research where they're about to, like, because for the rest of Earth's history, like 100 million, I guess longer, 3 billion years since life emerged on Earth, we haven't been able to know when an asteroid's going to hit and defend against it. And last week, an asteroid came between us and the moon, which is pretty close in space terms, but still also pretty far away, like 70,000 kilometers or something.
But was it until they knew it was coming?
They knew it was passing through about 4 to 5 hours before it passed through. So in a couple of years, I think 2021, they will be putting a new satellite up in space, which will allow it to see these kind of asteroids and meteors and meteorites a lot easier than they do now. And so we'll have like a space meteorite defense.
Like weather, space weather system almost type thing.
Yeah, something to like give us an earlier warning about anything that will, you know, come our way. And then it'll be like that film Armageddon where we have to send up Bruce Willis and he has to
love that film.
Yeah, not just for the soundtrack.
Bruce has just saved the day so many times.
Just to jump back, the black hole at the center of the Milky Way is called Sagittarius A, and it may be Sagittarius A star. I don't know. There's a star on the end of the text.
Asterisk.
Yeah, Sagittarius A asterisk. But I don't think that's the name.
Dance on a lady's lips.
So that's it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed learning about Olio and about the new image of the Milky Way.
And if you didn't, it's important to know that that whale calf that was adopted by the dolphin started to actually behave like the dolphin as well. Started to copy its mum's mannerisms.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I do actually want to look at this story as well, but I'll do that in my own time. But yes, don't forget to come and find us on social media at A Good Good Thing on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Please share with us your good, good news stories because we'd love to hear from you.
Or if you're undergoing any tickle therapy, give us a call.
Yes, please do. But yeah, otherwise, hope you have a great couple of weeks before we see you again. Don't forget to rate and review this episode and tell all of your friends to come join us too. See you later, guys.
Have a good, good week.